Again, I appreciate this opportunity to speak to you concerning the inspired Word of God. We've been studying the last few lessons that I've had concerning advice to the church of Corinth, so we'll go back and we'll read that verse again in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 13 and 14. And there it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, or behave or act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." And we got down to discussing, behave like men, quit you like men. And we're discussing some scriptures. We're going to pick up now, if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4 and verses 11 through 16. As we're looking at how we're to behave and act like men, and that is to be of full age is actually the meaning in the Greek, to be of full age. Another English word we use is mature. And that's what we're thinking about here when we mean behave like men, maturity. To act responsibly the way our Creator would want us to be acting. And God's plan is to help us accomplish this command, this growth process, by applying His Word to our lives. And let's look at this thought here that we find in Ephesians chapter 4, where it's talking about what God has set up from heaven through His Son. And so it says, beginning at verse 11, "And He gave apostles," and some translations will have "some," and some will put in "to be." "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers." Now, these are different works in the church that He gave. Now, I want you to notice carefully what the reason for these works are. Verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints." Now that's the next step. So all of these works that are accomplished, different activities under the authority of Christ, are for the perfecting of the saints. The next step is unto the work of ministering. Then the next step is unto the building up of the body of Christ. So you can see this process that God has set up through the apostles, of course, and the prophets, which we have through the written word. We have what they brought us from the Holy Spirit. And so as there were set up evangelists and pastors and teachers, this is for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So there's the reason all this takes place, is to build up the body of Christ. And look at verse 13. "Till we all attain unto," there's another "unto," that's a process we're going towards, "unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." Well, it doesn't stop there. It's a continuation here. The next step is unto a full-grown man. Doesn't stop there. Next step, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, there's a lot of processes involved there. This is no easy task. It doesn't happen in one or two clicks, you know. There's a process here that we work towards applying the Word of God to our lives, and I want you to notice the reason for all of this. The reason is shown in the next verse. That we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. So there's the obtainable goal as we apply the Word of God to our lives and we grow in this process through the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And we mature up to this full-grown man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we will no longer be children that are tossed to and fro and carried about by every weight, every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. That is, in their craftiness after the wiles of error. But instead of being like that, here's what we can be and must be. Speaking truth in love, may grow up. There it is. There's that process. We may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth, according to the working in due measure of each several part, maketh the increase of the body unto, there's another one, another step, unto the building up of itself in love. Now there's a lot of meat there in those few verses we just read. There's a lot of work to be engaged in. There are a lot of processes here in these steps as we mature and as we grow to behave like men. And that's a very, very important passage to consider when we think about these things that we must be involved in. This, so we talked about last time about this noble character that we are to develop, that we are to be unreservedly under the Savior's leadership, as we looked at in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And this is the process that formulates and creates that within us through the application of the Word of God, as we work together as a unit and we become fitly framed and knit together, and every joint is properly functioning and supplying that which the whole needs, so that the entire body can actually work together and make the increase of this body. And of course, we understand this is the local body, not the universal body. The local body, as he's writing to the Ephesian brethren, this body then is increasing and building up of itself as God would have it to be built up in love by his authority through a proper application of his word. This congregation here can grow both spiritually and also numerically. That's God's plan, and that's what he wants us to be engaged in and involved in. And this is how we become mature. Another example of behaving like men properly is how we actually treat one another. There are a lot of ramifications of how this body works correctly and every several part works into the building up of itself in love. One example is Romans 12, 9 through 21. So let's look at those verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. This body cannot be fitly framed together. It cannot function correctly. Every joint can't properly be supplied. We can't build ourselves up in love if we don't, as individuals, apply these principles to our lives. So beginning in verse 9, here's some of them. Let love be without hypocrisy. We can't build this congregation up if we have love that's not pure. If it's hypocritical love, if it's not real, if it's not genuine, we're going to have problems in the congregation. So we all have to work towards it being this kind of love that's without hypocrisy. Abhor, that means hate that which is evil. Remember now, you first apply the scriptures to yourself. So you look in your own heart first. You make sure you're hating evil. And then you help brethren to hate evil. We're all supposed to be hating evil. We're supposed to help each other to identify evil and hate it. Of course, we know that's not hating the people that are involved in the evil. If we find evil within ourselves, we're not supposed to hate ourselves. We can't even love other people if we don't properly learn to love ourselves. We love ourselves in the sense that we understand we're weak, sinful creatures, and we fall short of God's glory. We understand we're human. We understand that we have to diligently strive every day to do the will of God. But when we identify evil within ourselves, we're supposed to hate it. abhor it. How do you do that? Quit doing it. Turn away from it. Get it out of your heart. Don't allow the evil to take root in your heart. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Cling to. Hold on to that which is good. Love that which is good, in other words. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another. In honor, preferring one another. We think more of each other than ourselves. In diligence, not slothful. We are warned not to be lackadaisical, not to be sleepy, not to be dull of hearing. We're warned not to be slothful. You think of that. What is that animal? The sleuth or sloth? Is it actually called sloth? We get the word slothful, same word probably. You think of that thing, you know, it's, you watch that sloth, it's slow motion, you know, whatever that thing does, it's always like he's in slow, it's like somebody turned the camera down to a slow motion pace. I mean, that guy moves slow, and that's where we get, I guess, the word slothful for one or the other. We're warned not to be a slothful when it comes to serving the Lord. This is not something that is done on the fly, the spare of the moment, just an afterthought, just something on the side. This is our main objective, our main goal in life, is to be the kind of people God wants us to be. So he says, in diligence, don't be slothful. We are to be very aggressive, diligently aggressive in our diligence to put God first in our lives. We are actually very radical. We are very, very extremist in serving the Lord. We are definitely, what's that word they like to throw at us? You know, well, you're a zealot or you're a religious fanatic. That's the word I was looking for. We must be fanatical. But the fanatical attitude we're to have is guided by what these scriptures teach. We're to be fanatics when it comes to diligence. Because the other side of that's being slothful. So we need to be, you know, that sense of urgency, this little part-time job I'm doing. You know, one of the things we try to get across to people that, you know, they're ignoring the credit cards because the money they've got coming in is going to everything else, so they keep their house, keep their car. The credit card's the last thing they're going to put money onto. So we've got to try to create a sense of urgency to get them to understand that they have to find some money to at least get caught up to where they're not getting hit with a $39 late fee every month. And a $35 over limit fee every month. That's almost 80 bucks right there every month. And I tell them, you know, I say, you know, it's like taking, you wouldn't take 80 bucks out of your wallet and light a match to it, would you? No, that's what you're doing. Every month that you don't catch up this account of yours. So I try to encourage them to find ways to catch up their account. We've got a program called ReAge to where if they haven't done it, I think they only let them do it once a year, but they will actually bring them current and let them pay 6% and then their minimum each month, and they keep them current. In other words, kind of like forgiving of all their big mess they got themselves in, kind of starting over. If they pay their minimum, they're okay. So, you know, I'll get people on that if I can, if they are able to get on it. But the thing is to try to get a sense of urgency across to them to understand that, you know, you're digging yourself a grave here, a deep hole, and it's getting worse and worse. And a lot of people think that because they've closed the card or they closed the card that they don't have to pay it or they can't get fees anymore. Well, that's not true. You can get fees for the rest of your life. Now, I've seen them that start out with a $300 or $500 credit and it's $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 from just fees. Okay, so to get these people to wake up and see what's going on and try to find a way to catch up and stop all that and start paying this mess off, you have to create a sense of urgency. Man, you talk about God trying to instill in us a sense of urgency. It's on every page of His Word. I mean, there is a sense of urgency on every page. You don't have to read far to find it. And here's some of them. And the one we were looking at, in diligence, not slothful. Fervent in spirit. That's a fanatic, brethren. We need to be fanatical according to the Word of God, the way He wants us to be fanatical. Not fanatics in the way of going out and killing people. He doesn't give us that authority. As Adonis very fitly pointed out this morning, that we sin when we don't do what God tells us to do. And when we do unauthorized acts, we're sinning. And when we don't do authorized acts, we're sinning. Either way, we're involved in sin. So we have to be fervent in spirit. Now, if I have this lackadaisical attitude and I'm not interested in doing God's will that much, well, I will get up and come to services, though, once a week. You know, I'll do that if I'm feeling okay. You know, if I don't have a headache or stomach doesn't hurt, I'll get up and go to church. That's not what these scriptures are saying. We're supposed to be fervent in spirit, not slothful in our diligence. Slothfulness has no part in serving the Lord. We need to be aggressive, more aggressive than anything else in our lives. Now, we're aggressive when it comes to eating. I mean, how many of us here are going to go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days without eating? I don't think any of us would. You know, when you go on these diets to try to lose weight, it's hard enough to try to get on the diet and restrain yourself from eating as much food as you normally eat, or get on a certain diet and eat it. It's not easy. But we're going to be very diligent, very fervent in spirit to find some food when we get real hungry. That's the way God wants us to be spiritually. But it's not something that's built into our physical body. It's got to come from a self-will, a willingness here, and His Word is what sparks the flame. And if we don't study the Word, get it into our hearts, then we're not going to be fervent in spirit in serving the Lord. So, diligence, not slothful. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. We're looking towards heaven. We have this hope, this great hope in our heart that we're going to be with God in heaven. What a motivator. What a reason. You know, when we get hungry, we have hunger pains. Our stomach starts making noises. I'm hungry. Feed me. And our body says, I got to find some food. Well, the Word of God, when applied to our lives, does the same thing for us spiritually. And hope is one of those things that sparks the flame to be zealous, to do God's will, and try to be the kind of people He wants us to be. Patient in tribulation. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? If we're tough, according to God's will, if we're dedicated to Him, if we're fervent in spirit, when bad things happen to us, we're not going to let it destroy our faith. We're not going to blame God like so many people do. We're going to understand what's going on, that there are trials and temptations, and it's proving us. And we're tested and proved as through fire, the trials and temptations of life, how bad they may be, are to be used to make us stronger and to give us more zeal and to give us more fervency in serving the Lord. So patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. One of the secrets to being bold and being mature, to be full grown, to be responsible in serving the Lord, to be successful, is continuing steadfastly in prayer. Prayer has to be an integral part of our lives. Verse 13, communicating to the necessities of the saints. Being involved in taking care of each other, helping each other when there's a need, spiritually and physically, given to hospitality. Like we've read in Galatians 6, I think we read it this morning, as we have opportunity, do good unto all men, and especially the household of faith. That's part of love. That's part of responsibilities to do the will of God. If we don't do that, we're sinning. Bless them that persecute you. Another reverse type of thought process, that we normally are not interested in blessing those who persecute us. But the Creator says, this is what I want you to do. when people do bad things to you, you try to do good things to them. Now that doesn't mean if somebody's breaking into your house trying to kill your family, you just help them kill the family. Do good to them. Now you have the right to protect yourself. God gives us that right. And that's what Romans 13 is talking about, as he uses the example there of government. And that government, of course, includes us. If the government's not there to protect our family, we have that right to protect our family if we can. Or ourselves, whether you be male or female. You can do that. You can't say, well, I can just let the person do whatever they want to me because the policeman's not here. Well, we understand that. But this is talking about when people do wrong to us, then we're not to try to do wrong back to them. And if they say bad things against us, or they lie, cheat, and steal against us, we're not supposed to turn and do the same thing to them to get even like the world does. So bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Don't curse them. Don't be mean to them because they're mean to you. You be good to them and pray for them. Bless them that persecute you. That's really a lot right there in that verse. That's not easy to do. But that's part of our responsibility, and that's part of being mature in the sight of God. Trying to be full grown, be strong, or behave like men. Verse 15, rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. What's that talking about? Hey, identify. Not just be sympathetic, be empathetic. Feel what they're feeling. When they suffer, you feel it. You suffer too. That's what he's saying. When they're happy, you be happy. Are you happy when your brother gets a new car or a new house, or they have a new child, or they come into some good thing? Or are you, like I've seen people, well, they don't deserve that. I wish I had that. That's not fair. How come they get stuff and I don't? That's not what God wants us to be. He wants us to be happy when others are happy and rejoice. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. This mind he's showing us to be like. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to the things that are lowly. That set not your mind, or that condescend, in the Greek means be carried away with. Condescend. Be carried away with the things that are lowly. That's not something just happens normally, naturally. He's commanding us to have this kind of an attitude, to be humble, to be lowly of mind. That's not a normal thing with most of us. We have an easier tendency to be puffed up with pride, to be high-minded. So he says, as he's talking about don't be carried away or be carried away with things that are lowly, he says, do not be wise in your own conceits. You see, the reason he says that is because we all basically have that problem. It's easy for us to get conceited, to get puffed up, to be proud of ourselves. I don't understand why, but that's the way it is. So that's a destroyer of being lowly. You can't be lowly of mind when you think you're really somebody. You're really good. You're really great. And you may do something really good and really great. It can go to your head, as we say. You can be puffed up with it. So he says, don't be wise in your own conceits. Then verse 17, do not render evil for evil. Render to no man evil for evil. Same thought of don't try to get revenge or even for people when they do bad things to you. Think thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. Now we all understand what that means. Yeah, there's a code out there among all mankind. A code of what's right and what's wrong. Now there may be differences of opinion in certain areas, but by and large, people have a distinct understanding of what's right and what's wrong. And so when people do good things, you know, they're praised. They'll call them heroes even, you know, when they do certain things. In the news and the paper, he was a hero. He did this, he did that. And when people do bad things, they're marked as doing bad, evil things. So that's what he's saying. He says, take thought for all things honorable in the sight of all men. Do things that are good and right and acceptable among men, not bad, evil things. If it be as possible, then, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. We're supposed to strive to try to have peace among those people in the world around us, as much as we possibly can. Now, if we're standing for the truth, and that causes strife, then we can't help that, can we? And we're human beings. We can't be perfect and sinless, so we may say wrong things or make the wrong move sometimes. But he says, if it be possible, as much as in you lieth. Now, that's a responsibility for each one of us. Some people have a lot higher tolerance level to get along with people than others. As much as in you lie. This is an individual responsibility. I can't go around telling you how you're supposed to act in your relations with other people, only what the scriptures teach. So it says, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. We're supposed to do the best we can. A lot of times we'll judge each other by what tolerance level we have. So if somebody loses control a little quicker, oh, you got to quit that. It says, as much as in you lieth. So we all have our own responsibilities. And if I lose control and I start sinning, then you can help encourage me to quit sinning. But we all have the responsibility to try to be at peace with all men. Verse 19, do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. So we're not supposed to try to get even. And you know, we see that a lot in the world today. You know, I don't get mad, I just get even. And they'll find a way to get back at whoever did whatever to them. That's not what God wants us to do. That's wrong. That's sinful. Now what does he want us to do? Well, he tells us here in verse 20 and 21. But if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. When you do that principle, and somebody's just treating you bad, and you treat them good, they don't expect that. That's not natural. Not normal. They expect you to get mad. They expect you to try to get back and get even and have a fit and do all kinds of terrible ungodly things. But when you give them love for their hate, it's like casting coals of fire upon their head, and not just throwing a coal or two, heaping. You know, we all know what heaping means. I mean, you poured on them. When you give them love for their hate, and you have love for them even when they're hating you and they're doing it bad to you, and you try to do good and help them, you heap coals of fire upon their head. And then verse 21, he rounds it up by saying, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So all these principles are kind of summed up in that last verse there, that this is against the grain. This is not what we normally would do. This may not be what we want to do. But if we're trying to please God above everything else, this is what we'll try to do. Don't let them get our goat. Why? Because it's not about us. It's not about us getting our vengeance and, you know, well, I know I'm right and he's wrong. I'm going to show him. It's about God. It's all about God. It's what God wants. And God tells us, here's what I want you to do. Here's the way I want you to act. This will please me. May not please you at the point in time that it happens. Don't be overcome of evil. Don't do like they do. Do like I want you to do. And be overcome, but overcome the evil with the good. And all these principles we've just studied are some examples of how we do that. Of course, there's many other passages that we could look at. But I wanted to go through this one closely. You remember the parable of the prodigal son. And you know, when the prodigal son came back in Luke 15, I want to kind of focus for a moment on the elder son. Remember when that prodigal son came back, he came to his senses. And sometimes that happens. We pray that that will happen with all of God's erring children. They'll come to their senses and they'll come back to serving God. Well, this fella came to his senses and he came back home hoping just to be a servant because it'd be a lot better than what he was doing out there feeding pigs and having to eat the food they threw to the pigs. He was in bad shape. Well, that's what happens when we get in sin. That's how bad it gets. We're out there like the old dog that turns and eats his vomit. Or the sow, the old pig, they stink to high heaven. You smell those old pigs. I tell you what, when I was preaching up in Nebraska, I think the worst smell I've ever smelled in my life is you go by a farm, it's got those pigs. And it's the ones where, it's the old kind where they don't keep them clean. And man, I mean the smell just about chokes you to death when you drive by. I mean, it takes your breath away. It's so bad. I haven't smelled those. Smell hardly. There's some flower that grows that I smell that's worse, you know, that only, I think it blooms once a year. It's a like dead flesh. It's rotting. But these pigs smell. I mean, it gets nasty. Terrible smell. And this guy was out there eating their food they were giving to him. That's how bad sin is. That's a picture of how bad sin is when we get into sin. It's terrible. You clean that pig off from all that filthy smell and he goes and jumps right back in it. Well, that's what happens when we go into sin and we turn away from God. That's the erring child of God. That's how bad it is. So, when the prodigal son came back, there was great rejoicing by the father and he's going to have this big feast. And look what the elder son does, 25 of Luke chapter 15. You know what? He's like a little baby. He's just like a little child. He's just crying and belly aching. You know why? Because he's selfish. So you read verse 25 and through verse 32. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called to him one of the servants and inquired what these things might be. And he said unto him, thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. But he was angry and would not go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered and he said to his father, well, lo, these many years do I serve thee. I never transgressed a commandment of thine. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this son thy son came who had devoured thy living with harlots, thou killest for him the fatted calf. What a baby. Crying like a little baby. Selfish. Well, I didn't do all this stuff for me. I didn't go out there and do that. I'll be a good boy. Why do you do this for me? It's the same old problem, you know. Me, me, me. I'm the important one around here. I'm so good. Like the publican and the sinner, the Pharisee and the publican. That's what I was trying to say. The Pharisee, you know, he's up here, you know, oh, I do this and I do that. I'm not like this old publican here. Same attitude. So the father says to him, verse 31, son, you are ever with me, and all that is mine is yours. But he was meet, it was right to make merry and be glad for this. Thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And so we had three people here this morning. Three people here this morning that have been unfaithful children of God for a number of years. Three of them. Now none of them came this afternoon. What's our attitude toward these three souls? Do we love them fervently? Do we pray for them that they'll come back and start putting the Lord first? Or is our attitude, yeah, you know, they're not very good people. They can't even, look at that. They've been out there in the world doing what they want to do. You know, there's really something wrong with them. Yeah, I wonder if we ought to have them back. They'll probably just go right back in the world again. You know, all these negative thoughts. Well, you know, I've seen what they've done in the past. They're never going to be. And so we become God. Well, we start judging. That's not what the Bible says. our attitude towards those three, and hopefully all three of them will start coming back. They're trying. They're bucking against the devil right now. They're trying to come back and start putting the Lord first in their lives. Now, I don't know if they'll be successful, but our responsibility is to love them and to be the best help we can be, to encourage them to serve the Lord and to put the Lord first and to turn away from sin. Now, they've been in the world for a while. They may not just turn again away from it like that. It might take a while. So we set good examples. We try to encourage them and get them to studying God's Word and attending services and hearing God's Word and studying their Bibles and praying and trying to identify the evil things in their lives and turning away. And it might take a while. But that's what God wants us to do. I don't care what you might think or feel. That's not important. You're not important. I'm not important. God is important. He's the one that we're here to serve. We're not here to please ourselves and to have feel-good feelings in ourselves so that we can feel better about ourselves and that so we won't go to hell. Now, like Adonis said this morning, that's part of it. But we're here to try to please God and do His will. Try to mold ourselves to be the kind of people He wants to be. It's a lifelong work, and it ain't going to happen overnight. Put it bluntly, it will not ever happen. And if anybody says it has and it did, they're lying. And they don't know what the Scriptures teach. This growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a lifetime of work. And you do it right up until the last day you're alive, as long as you have mentality, your mental faculties that you can think and have control over your body. There's a battle going on, and I tell you what, we're right in the middle of it. There's no way you can get out of this battle. That's why you better get your armor on and fight and be brave and be strong and behave like men to be mature. And that's what this lesson is all about. And let's see if I could do one more, and then we'll stop there, and we'll next time I preach, we'll work on the be strong part. We can't be childish like the elder son was. We can't be like that. We can't have those kind of... I want to think of another thing, too. Here the father's actually having to pamper him. Now, is that sad or what? The father loves him so much, he doesn't want to lose the elder son. He's trying to deal with him. He's pampering him, trying to help him. Now, if we are to put away childish things, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, then we've got to identify when we act wrongly, like the elder son was doing, and quit doing it. So let's go to Ephesians 4. This will be the last passage this evening. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at verses 31 through 5:2. Ephesians chapter 4, or 21. Wait a minute. No, I'm on the wrong page. Yeah, it is 4:31, 32, and then 5:1-2. He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you." Well, I think you could say the elder son had some bitterness, don't you think? He got mad too, didn't he? It said it. It said he was angry. So there's two of them right there, the first two, bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing, all of that he was doing. And he says, God says, you put all that stuff away from you with all malice. You think the elder son had malice against the younger brother? He sure did. He had all this stuff. Now, what's the opposite of that? What is it that God wants us to be like instead of those things like the elder son was? Here it is, verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you." See, that's what the father did. When the father saw his younger son coming back, that's the attitude he had. He had all of these things. He was tender-hearted toward him. He had mercy toward him. He was forgiving toward him. He was coming back. And that's the way God is. When brethren that fall away from God, they come back. Try to put Him first again in their lives. And that's the way we have to be. Because Christ forgave us when we were yet in our sins. There's the power. Verses 1 and 2 of 5, be ye therefore imitators of who? God. As beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell. There's our perfect example again. And so the elder brother had nothing to stand on. Well, let's stop there. And next time, the Lord willing, we'll finish this lesson and look into being strong. And then the last part of that verse that we're kind of dissecting is, let all that you do be done in love. So we'll look at being strong and then letting all that we do be done in love. There may be someone here at this assembly that would like to respond in some way to the gospel call, and we would encourage you to do that. We'll help you do anything that God authorizes us to do in helping you to serve the Lord and put Him first as we stand and sing the song Select.
God calls me to bring love.